Accession number 29045, Mr. Keith Glover, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about when you were training at Handesford. We've not mentioned the officers much. I mean, this is basic training. Did you see much of your officers? Did you have any relationship with them, sort of thing?
None at all. No. We'd pass them and salute them when we'd been taught how to salute properly, and they would return the courtesy, and that's as much as we had. Other than my going to play at the officers' mess, but then you didn't see the officers because the band would be outside the dining room, invariably outside the building, and then they'd send a tray of drinks through. So I didn't. We had a parade once a week on the square, and officers were obviously in attendance there. But
it was your point of contact, the NCOs, the NCO instructors. Mm. Now, what we're talking about typically, it's only what we hang things off. But what about the canteen, the NAFI, if it was the NAFI? What did you get in there much? What did it offer you?
In my case, nothing, and most of the guys in the billet, nothing. A, we'd no money, and B, we'd no time to go. We were always too busy cleaning. When we got a 36, we'd jump on a train and fly home for a few hours. 36-hour pass. Sunday lunchtime till Saturday lunchtime till Sunday evening. Occasionally we'd get a 48, that's the 2 days off, but not very often. And in those days, of course, we had to bring ration chits home with us because food was still on ration. There'd be a NAFI wagon during the day when we were drilling, and I was always at the back of the queue, so by the time I got to the hatch, it was 4:13 flight. I can never remember having a mug of tea during the day.
And what about in the evening? So in the evening, you're still cleaning?
Or lying on the bunks chatting.
Were you allowed out? I don't know. I have no idea about
that. Not off camp during the working week. No.
Any stories of your time? I mean, that's our questions really, but for basic training, anything that happened while you were there, or did it just progress fairly evenly?
It was much of so. I can remember a sports day. We were all AC2s as raw recruits, aircraftsmen second class, and on the sports day, you were all compulsory entered for something. I think I was in the 100 yards, and if I said to you MacDonald Bailey, would it mean anything to you?
No, the name's familiar.
He was a coloured sprinter. He was Britain's champion 100-yard sprinter, and believe it or not, he was stationed at Hennesford. So the Tannoy system introduced the runners. There was AC2 so-and-so and AC1 so-and-so and LAC so-and-so. And then last of all was ACE MacDonald Bailey, ace. Well, of course, he'd finished before the others had started. It was wonderful. And it was a sunny afternoon. I remember that as well. What else? No, I didn't.
Were you aware of being assessed, you know, as you went through? I mean, how were they assessing you? Because some people would be back squatted or, I presume, put out the area.
Well, I arrived at Hennesford, a POM, P-O-M, Potential Officer Material.
Now, you haven't mentioned that. I was going to ask you, but I forgot, because you were a grammar school boy.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So in the fullness of time, those of us with that designation were called for interview.
Now, did it make any difference before the interview that you were upon? Were you treated differently?
No. It carried no credit on the in the billet.
And were you given any different training at all, or
no,
extra training?
None at all.
So they just spotted in your education or character that you were a potential officer. Now, but how did they go up to try and assess you then? What was this interview?
I can remember a little about it, actually. The officers taking it, there was more than one, flight lieutenants, I believe, ask a series of questions. Ask me what trade I would like to follow if I got a commission. That's about all I can remember. But in the fullness of time, I was not selected. I don't regret that at all. But that's a silly thing to say,
you
really.
You can't put your finger on why they didn't want you. You just don't know.
I don't know. It may be that they've got all the personnel they needed for that particular time.
They didn't tell you that. They didn't say you're not grown up enough.
Oh, no.
So they just told you you weren't wanted.
Yeah.
Now, anything else then? I mean, were you assessed as a recruit? Oh, you passed the course, I presume.
If you've not come up with expectation, you were reflighted and sent back a flight. So that was another 9 weeks or whatever.
But you didn't.
No, none of us did. I tell you, we were a tidy bunch. It was good.
And what happened then? I mean,
then
was there a passing out parade?
Oh yes. By which time, of course, I'd got this one. Oh, going back to this pom bit. One of our guys did, in fact, get selected. Now, would you believe that his father was an Air Commodore? His claim to fame was one O-level, oral French. He was as thick as a plank. He was a nice guy. But he was the only one out the intake that was selected for officer training. And it was his father that came to take the salute on the day we passed out. And he did, in fact, speak to me, did Air Commodore, whatever his name was. Because I'm stood there. You see, with this base, your buttons and shirt could be anything. Because all they could see was my badge and my boot, shiny boots. And it's a three-valve instrument. And he stopped in front of me and looked at me and said, "Can you get all the notes out of that?" "Yes, sir," I replied. And off he went.
So that is, you were in the band on the passing out parade.
Hmm.
Now, what happened next? What month is this? That's April. You went there. March, April. So
that takes us through to May. Oh, while I was there, we were lying on our bunks one Saturday afternoon, and this is why I know when the first 4 minute mile was done, because we were sat listening to Roger Bannister cracking the 4 minute mile. It's wonderful. When you think that was a cinder track and he bust 4 minutes. Today's guys couldn't. Not on a cinder track. Yeah.
So you finish in May.
Yeah.
So it's, 6 weeks?
Six, something like that.
And what happened now? Do you stay there? Or to do
no. That? Then, again, it depends when you were called up or went in as to what they were short of. We'd got all sorts of talents qualified. In one of the education lectures, I got there late. It was a woman officer. And she was asking daft things like, "What's an atom look like?" Why did I start this story? Yeah, because she found out, she went round the group of us as to, you know, what we'd done. And we'd got a BSc physicist, this, that and the other. And she said, she was a lovely woman. And she said, "Well, I don't know really why I'm standing here." And quite clearly she didn't have done. So this wealth of talent, and what did they do? Made us all radio mechanics, because that's what they needed at that time. So that, we had a few days leave, not many.
Now where were you sent?
RAF Compton Bassett, no longer exists, I won't buy it.
Is that not in Somerset?
No, Carne, Wiltshire. It's near the Big White Horse and Harris's Pork Sausages.
And what was this? What was the name of the unit? Was that just a radar?
The radio training school. We were ground radio. Just down the road from us was Yatesbury, and they did the air wireless courses. You're either a ground wireless mechanic R, which is what I was, the R standing for receivers, or a GWM T, transmitters. They also trained Didardit men, WOPs. And of course, life altered dramatically, although I didn't find square bashing traumatic. Compton Bassett was like a holiday camp, and joined the station band, it became even more like Butlins. We couldn't do a thing wrong. Because I was a bandsman, we used the permanent mess, not the conscripts mess. And again, the food was out of this world.
So as a bandsman, that gave you a status much higher than you had as a
result. Yes, yes, yes. I never did a guard duty in all my time. Bandsman, sir. Oh, my goodness me, you can't have you marching up and down. Yeah.
So it's well worth you being in the band.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
And still playing the euphonium, a bass euphonium with them, or did they put you on something else?
Now, let me think back. No, I played a double B-flat bass for them as well.
Now, take me through the training. What do you have to learn? You're going to be a ground radio, so I keep saying
ground
radio.
Wireless.
Wireless, that's right, sorry. Wireless mechanic. Now, take me through the training. How did they start you off?
Where did we start? There's a lot of learning how to use tools properly, soldering joints and making connections, identifying various tools. We had this one sergeant, he's got a very gruff voice, and he says, "This is a 12-inch bastard file." A satisfying word, bastard. And then when we came to the exam at the end of that particular course, he passed me a 12-inch bastard file, and he says, "What's wrong with this?" I said, "It's not got a handle." The tang was on that verbatim. And that's all he wanted to know, the fact that I'd recognised the fact that this file was handleless. Well, that was part of it. The rest, we had to do connections and things. I enjoyed that.
Were the trade tests and things like soldering? I mean, soldering is quite a skill. Well, they reckon it's quite a skill.
Oh, yes.
I mean, were the trade tests that you had to get through?
Yes, yes, yes. Having, we made like a little, I can't remember now whether it was zinc or aluminium. It might have been steel. A little gate, a square with a diagonal piece across it. So we'd got to solder all those joints. And then at the end of it, the sergeant took a pair of pliers and pulled it all to pieces to make sure that the joints weren't dry joints.
Now, what's a dry joint?
Well, it's where you've not heated the solder hot enough. So some of it will melt, but some doesn't. And so you've not got a complete connection. And the part that's not soldered looks dry compared with the other, which is shiny and tinny.
And And what are the tools? I mean, so there's files, basic files, anything, soldering iron, anything else?
Yeah, hammer to hit things with, basic tools, screwdrivers, you need a screwdriver.
Okay, so that's one side of what you were
learning. And then the other was the theory side.
How far did they go with the theory?
Oh, quite deeply. In those days, wirelesses had valves, the transistors didn't exist. So we had to learn all about the different valves from a diode up to a pentode and the different functions that they have.
Now, had you done this at school?
No, this was brand new stuff. We, a diesel, what the hell do you... It's an engine, a diesel engine, that makes electricity, a generator. We'll get there in the end. We were taught all about those, how it doesn't have a spark plug, etc., etc. There's a needle that whops up and down.
And how were you taking to this? You'd like something.
Oh, yeah, like a duck takes to water. Some of it was oversimplified because you'd get the odd lad. He couldn't get his head around the fact that you could make straight lines into a circle. So this corporal, techie, he wiped the blackboard and easel, standard school, and he drew little straight lines and made a circle, filled the board. And he says, there's straight lines and circle, and this kid still couldn't get his head around it. Bless him. So not everybody passed. It is my credit that in my briefcase over there, to this day, I have a certificate of merit that was given to me at the end of the course.
So that's theoretical training. Now, anything else? So tools, theoretical. What about wirelesses themselves? I mean,
yes, because obviously we were going to use these in the field or at the station. And my two radios were what was called a CR150 and an AR88.
Now, what were the characteristics of these two?
Well, they were both super hets.
Yeah. What's that mean?
That means that you can get a signal in, and one of these valves, I think it was the pentode, will convert that, the frequency which comes in is converted to a standard frequency for the radio. A neat piece of kit.
Big?
Yes. Let's have a look.
They can't see, remember, so...
Let's... About, the ACAR-88 would be 2 feet 6 long, about 18 inches deep, and the same in the width.
That's a hefty bit of kit.
It is a hefty bit of kit.
That is a receiver. Yeah. That's not a sender as well.
No. Just the receiver.
And what about the CR150?
It was slightly smaller and grey rather than black. And I was never in love with the CR150.
Well, why not?
It was a much simpler radio. It didn't seem to have... how can I say it? The neatness of the R88 in that the signal wasn't so crisp when it was received. It just didn't. In fact, once I got to my station, although there was a bank of CR150s in the radio shack, they were never used. They were switched on, but they were never, ever used.
Well, let's stick the AR-80 out there, 88, a bit, you know. So what controls did it have on it as a receiver? I mean, what are we talking about?
We are talking off-on, obviously. Various frequency, a switch which would clip you from one set of frequencies to another, and then you'd got the big tuning dial. There were other switches, and I've forgotten what their function was.
Was it the tuning in on a bit, was that a matter of, I mean, was that easily done, or was it a bit of a...
It depended on the weather conditions. You could tune them in finitely. And you reached the stage with practice where you didn't need a dial, a needle to say you have now got yourself tuned in completely. Your ear was enough. And then as the day wore on, the frequency would have to be moved because it would lose its strength for atmospheric reasons, where the sun was, etc. And sometimes we used to get a bounce. This was quite startling when you first met it. You'd get a signal that was do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it was really only one signal. What was happening was it was going around the world this way, and it was also going around the world that way. And sometimes they weren't synchronised when they got to you, again, depending on the weather. So that would call for a frequency change. You know, let's find somewhere where we can talk to each other.
Now, so you learned how to tune. Well, did you learn how to go into the radio and repair it?
Yes.
Now, see, I mean, that was part of the course.
Well, part of the course.
Using it,
No. We were mechanics, the lowest of the low in the. In the radio world, fitters were the gembods, but they'd go for a 3-month course down to locking and places like that. These were absolute experts. So, if I got a snag that I couldn't crack, then a fitter would come and sort it. But mostly, they either didn't break down, or the fault was minimal and could easily be solved.
But you've been trained. Now, what level have you been trained to? I mean, were you trained basically to the level of finding out which valve had gone and replacing it, or would you do things like cracked circuits? Did they have circuits, or was it wire? Did it be wire?
Wire, yeah.
I mean, would you sort of be able to spot which valve wasn't working? In
Mostly, yes. We didn't have posh instruments to poke about with. You'd look, and I was taught a magnificent way of finding a fault. If you can't see a fault, switch it on and look for smoke. Well, archaic, but it worked, you know. So yes, mostly like I say,
it's pretty basic repair.
Oh yes. When you think about it, it had to be in those days. You couldn't go to war with a piece of equipment, although they do these days, where if it, mind, it's bad out, new in these days, isn't it? But you needed to be able to service these things.
People still talk about the old kick and throw. Second World War, they kick it, see if it worked then.
No, we didn't throw anything. Kick it again. See if that helps.
So it's a fairly, it's the lowest level of repair that you can do without actually just leaving it alone.
Absolutely.
Anything else you were learning there?
At Compton Bassett, no, but it was a full time course. No messing about. You know, there was a games afternoon, but the rest of the time was devoted to electronics.
And you were enjoying it.
Oh, yes, indeedy.
And what were living conditions like there?
Well, but it was getting a bit cold by now, you understand, because it was quite a lengthy course. I didn't get posted till December. So what we're looking at? June, July, August, September. Yeah, about a 6-month course. So it was quite comprehensive. Again, a billet with a big pot-bellied stove in it. The one at Hennesford we'd not needed to use because it was not cold. But at Compton Bassett, we had a coat ration. We used to get the damn thing red hot. It was lovely. but then in the middle of the night it would go cold, so one of us would have to get up and stoke it up again.
And this is fundamentally a hut, very similar to the other?
No, because joined onto it was the ablution block. We didn't have to leave it to go to the ablutions. So it was a tad bigger. The actual sleeping accommodation was very similar.
Now, what happened at the end? What about your exam at the end of it, or testing? I mean,
yes, there was a test. And if you clagged it, I don't know what happened to it. But if you passed it, you got your Sparks badge. That was a tanner a day. Yeah, let's go for that.
Now, what's a Sparks badge?
It's a little clenched fist with spark lightning coming out of both sides of it. I haven't got one here.
And that's, you meant you were a wireless mechanic?
It meant I was in the signals trade. A wireless operator would have the same badge, you see. Next time you see a film about the Air Force, we'll say bomber cannon, have a look at the WOP, and above his stripes or below them, you'll see this little clenched fist.
And were you proud of it?
Certainly were. And in those days, this is how the world was, wasn't it? You joined the Scouts, you wanted as many badges on your sleeve as you could get. And it was true in schools too, where you'd be given your football colours or things, or house colours, to be worn with pride. I've got this, you ain't, so Yabu sucks.
And anything else happened at Compton Bassett? You'd have more time to go.
We did go off camp in those days, and by this time we were allowed to civvies off camp.
So where would you go? What would you do?
Mostly go for a beer and to the local dances, the dance being more important than the beer. In Caen, normally, because if you went too far, you'd got to waste time travelling, and that was never a good idea.
So where would you go for your dances?
Into Caen itself. Caen. You'll have to look that up on the map. It is there, honest.
And what were these dances like?
Well, like they all were in those days, like the ones we used to have in Melton Mowbray. You'd have a small four-piece band of varying skill levels, and then all the local ladies. Yeah, it used to be fun.
Now, did you ever play in dance bands yourself at this stage?
I have played in dance bands, but not while I was in the RAF.
And you didn't drink? Sounds like it wasn't a drinking group you were with.
No, we were only 18, 19, and my daddy said to me, Keith, if you're going to drink, drink brown ale, because that won't hurt you, which I did for years, until I found out that a pint of bitter was cheaper than a bottle of brown ale, and that wasn't until I was at college in 1958.
So you drank brown ale today.
Brown ale.
How much did you drink? Are we talking two or three? It sounds like two or three pints at most.
Yeah, a couple of bottles, that's all.
So two pints.
Basically. No, bottle's not a pint.
A small
bottle. Yeah. And that was it. No, we weren't drinkers in those days.
You were still short of money.
Yes. We didn't get a pound a week. And they used to put half a crown of that into the Posby. Post Office Savings Bank. It wasn't compulsory, but we were advised to do it as soon as we got to the square bashing place by an officer. And I thought, all right, I'll do that. And believe it or not, I kept that up through the 2 years. And when I came up the Air Force 2 years later, I'd saved £250 in the Posby. I've increased it over the... As my pay went up, so I increased the amount I put in there.
That was, well, I mean, that's a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. Yeah, that took me through college.
But that must have left you a bit short.
It was, but I didn't spend a lot. Cigarettes, I did smoke, but that's all.